If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, I'll be honest. We were here Monday night. June was invited to the ladies' Bible study, and I had to go down and run a few errands. When I got back, the deacons were here meeting, did not know that, and spent a little time with them. They were trying to straighten me out and decided it was useless. And all, but I told them, I said, we need to have an early service, Sunday school, a morning service, and a regular evening service. I said, I have at least four sermons I want to preach here today. So, you know, you ate a lot this week anyway. You don't need lunch today, so we'll just be here for a while. Amen? No, not too many amens on that one. All right. So anyway, I prayed, asked the Lord what I should preach. I thought, should I do a Christmas one? Should I do get ready for the New Year one? What should I do? And this is where the Lord kind of directed my heart. Now, I want to say a couple things first. When you get into the prophets, there is there's prophecy there. And we're not going to look at this as prophetic today. So I don't want you to get concerned where we're going to go. And I'm not scared of prophecy. Concerned about ideas of prophecy. For those of you that know what I'm talking about, I am pre-trib, pre-mill, just right down the road. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. But in your church constitution, it says that you are too. All righty? And I believe those things. But we're not going to be looking at that way today. Okay? I have a very vivid imagination. Those of you that know me probably don't have trouble believing that. And when I read some of these prophetic passages and it talks about different things that the prophets saw and tried to explain, my mind's eye goes crazy seeing these things and what's there, okay? So we're going to read a passage, we're going to take a look at it, and I heard a preacher on this passage. This is not his sermon, but hearing when he read it and stuff, it gave me an idea. And preachers are like that. We go, we hear other preachers, and every now and then you'll see a preacher, if you notice, in a meeting, he'll pull out some paper and start writing down, and it's like he's not taking normal notes, and he's not. The Lord used the guy speaking to give him an idea, and he's writing down message notes, and that's kind of what happened on this one. The guy gave me the idea, but it's my sermon. Amen? Okay? And it gave me some ideas, and I had to come home and study to make sure that I wasn't off track. Man, they got that clock where I have trouble seeing it, and that's tremendous. All right. Stand with me as we read the Word of God in honor of God's holy Word. We're going to begin in Ezekiel 1. We're going to begin in verse 4. Ezekiel 1, beginning in verse 4. And the Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings." This is where my mind's eye really begins to get creative. Okay, back to the scriptures. Verse 7, "And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces in their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings of every one joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward, whether the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was as burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that even in the midst of a holiday weekend and all the excitement that we've had this past week, Lord, I pray that you would help us to concentrate on what you have for us. Help us to put away the things going on this coming week from our mind, and help us to focus on what you have for us here today. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to respond as you would have us to. Bless the preaching, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, you can be seated. I'm sorry. You know, there are places around the world where you stand and I sit. You want to try that one today? I couldn't do that. You know me. I'm all over the place up here. There's no way I could sit down and do that. Now, we're going to take a quick look at Ezekiel and his ministry. People in churches like this, a Bible-believing church, we understand that our God is a God of glory. Sadly, oftentimes, we tend to forget that in our daily lives. And sadly, our society just has brushed it aside as though it's not important. The message of the book of Ezekiel is for us to focus on the glory of God and the honor of his name. And at times, there seems to be a lack of reverence for the name and glory of God. In our society, there completely is. It's just thrown away. God's name is used as a cuss word constantly. Do you know, I won't get into this, but there is a way if you work around ungodly people that take God's name in vain, and I've been in that situation before where I've worked as an assistant and things. I cannot carry a tune in a bucket, and that is not trying to exaggerate, that's fact. And when I've had guys cuss and take God's name in vain, I just sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. At one place, a guy cussed, and I started singing, and Leonard, you did it again. Just shut up. Now we got to hear him sing. I mean, there are things you can do. But anyway, back to this. Now, in Matthew 6, where we read of the Lord's model prayer, you know, where they teach us to pray and so forth, and after this man pray, our Father which art in heaven. What's the next word? Hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed carries the idea of honor, reverence, that we are to honor the name of God. And the fact of that should humble us. When we think of who God is, what he has done for us, this past week we celebrated the birth of Jesus, who left heaven to come and to be born in a barn. Think about that. He left heaven. Read Isaiah 6 and see what he had before he came to this earth. He left heaven and came to this earth. No one has ever gone from a higher position to a lower position, knowing that he was coming to die for our sin. And he willingly did that. That ought to humble us. That ought to give us pause to think about who he is and what he's done. Now, the name Ezekiel means God strengthens. Ezekiel was 30 years old at the time of his call to ministry. If we had started in verse 1, we would have seen that he was one of the children of Israel taken into custody in the first Babylonian captivity. It's likely that he and Daniel knew each other. And Ezekiel's ministry begins with a vision of the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand or whatever. How often do you really think about the glory of God? How often do you see the glory of God? You know, this past Friday, Christmas Day, and people celebrate it differently. June and I had Christmas presents. There were a couple that we didn't know what they were because they were sent from the kids. At our stage in life, Christmas presents are, do you like that? Is it the right color? Does it fit? You know what I'm saying? So we knew what we were getting, amen, and stuff, and had everything lined out and ready to go. So Christmas wasn't a lot of surprise. But we got to see a three-year-old and a six-year-old grandson on FaceTime going at it, opening presents. And there's nothing like seeing little kids like that going at it, is there? I mean, papers flying, squealing, and carrying on, and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, in the midst of all the excitement and all the fun, we just forget about who God is. Even adults. It brings us joy to see our grandkids like that. Right? Well, not all of you know that, but those of you in the mature generation understand that. Amen? All right? And it brings us joy to see our loved ones, whatever their age, get their presence. But somehow the glory of God can get squeezed out if we're not careful. When we have things going on in our life, we need to focus on the glory of God. Whether we're having personal difficulties, whether that's finances, health, relationship, job problems, whether it's what's going on in the world. Everybody is, when I say everybody, a majority of people you hear, but can't wait to get rid of 2020. 2021 is going to be better. Are you sure? Who said it's going to be? Sadly, our country just voted in a crime family to be president and an avowed communist as the vice president. You say, you shouldn't say that. If you put your head in the sand, that's not my fault. Okay? That's what our country has taken. We took a pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-religious liberty, pro-biblical definition of marriage president and threw him to the side for one that's the opposite in everything. Amen? Is 2021 really going to be better? And the bottom line is, we need God far more than we need help from Washington, D.C. Somebody put this out. If you think help from Washington is a good thing, take a look at what they've done for the American Indians. That's the help that you're going to get from Washington. Our hope is in the Lord. I saw this saying somewhere, and somebody said, what a fearful world needs is a fearless church. Amen? And we can't be saying, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I don't know. We can't operate like that. We have to trust the Lord because He is in control. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should be careless. I don't mean that. I'm not saying that COVID's not real. It is real. My closest friend's a preacher. He had it. He had a high fever for 12 days. In 1 week, he lost 12 pounds. I told him that's good because he looked like he was in his fourth trimester anyway. But anyway, he and I just ooze compassion. Now, as we look at this vision, the Lord is trying to convey to us a comparison. And we do that. You know, if we go somewhere where someone's never been, we try to explain it to them. Whereas we've been in India and China, we tried it. It's kind of like this, kind of like that. When you try a food that other people haven't had, they always say, what's it like? You always say it tastes like chicken, right? You know, whatever it is, you come up with some idea. The first time we were in Hong Kong, after we had been teaching the Chinese, we're with our son. This was in 2016. And we were eating at a place, and the food was great. In the United States, it would have been condemned for health issues and things. One of the items that they had a picture of on the wall, and we did not order this, it said pig blood with vegetables. You understand why we didn't order this? And my son said, Dad, it's really not that bad. I said, that's fine. We'll find out another day. And the stuff that we had was good. We were eating with John. We were eating with one of his co-teachers and her husband. John and him were just like brothers. And he hadn't met his wife at that time, and he had a young lady teacher with him. And getting towards the end of the meal, he said, "Dad, I had to eat it. You got to eat it." You know what he meant? In our house, if she prepared it, they had to eat it. None of you, I don't like this. That got you an extra spoon of it. Amen? You say, "We knew you were weird. You're just proving it." All right. I said, "If you eat it, I'll eat it." And they came, they opened a bowl. It was rice. It is a Chinese culture. There's always rice or noodles. And I looked at this. There was green vegetable. I said, "That's bok choy. I love bok choy." He said, "You're right." I said, "That looks like pork." He said, "You're right." I said, "That's it." He said, "Yep, that's it." I said, "You eat it, I'll eat it." He gave me a big spoon. He put it in. I put it in. It did taste like chicken. In June, she was having some, and she kind of liked it until he said, "That's frog." Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I'd eat that again in a heartbeat. But anyway, we compare things. Now, we want to take a look at this. This morning, I want to challenge you to be the ox. Be the ox. Some of us, we have a misunderstanding about who an ox is. It's one of the faces on here. And if you're like me, if you read through this without taking time to study it, you know, there's one dumb animal in the midst of these other faces. Help me finish these sentences. He's as dumb as an ox. He's as clumsy as an ox. That's kind of what we think of an ox. And that's a misunderstanding. We do not have time today to get all of my sermons in and look at every verse on an ox. Just seeing if you were listening on that one. But there's not enough time to see all of the verses on an ox. We're going to talk about these just a little bit. As we look at this vision, there were four things. Commentators have said that they represent four different kinds of people. The man obviously represents a thinker, an intellect, and unless you're in some of this New Age stuff where you believe animals and man are the same, you would have to agree that man has the intellect. I'm not saying that no animal can think. That's not what I'm saying. But a man should have an intellect. He should think. And when I say man, I'm talking about mankind, not just man as opposed to woman. The lion, all of us know he's the king of the jungle. He's fierce. Wouldn't you love to hear a lion roar live? If I was in a very strong cage or he was in a very strong cage, I would like to hear that. And the ox, we'll say more about that. The eagle, you know, in 2018, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I preached in a church an hour south of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. The pastor of that church was a kid in our youth group when I was a youth pastor from 1980 to 1985. He's now in his middle 50s and a grandfather. That does not do much for your ego when you're thinking of the age situation there. And after church and stuff, we went to eat near Jackson Hole and we went for a drive. And we drove out by a game preserve and there was an elk herd on one side of the road where they were protected. And you couldn't hunt. On the other side of the road, you could hunt, and there were no elk. They were all over here eating. And as we were watching those, Tim said, "There's an eagle." He was flying. That's the first time I ever saw an eagle flying live. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen video of it. But that's the first time I ever saw it. Oh, it's a majestic animal. Flying out across there, just surveying everything. These represent four different kinds of people. Each of them represent a different aspect of work. And each of these faces have good qualities and liabilities. Do you know, if we look at Leviticus 11, and we're not going to, there's a list of clean and unclean animals. You know your Bible well enough to know that the Old Testament Jews had a dietary code that they had to follow. And in that, the very first unclean bird, do you know what it is? It's an eagle. Would you have thought of that? The eagle is the first unclean bird listed in there. When I think of a man and I think of the thinker, when I was a teenager, back in the dark ages, there was a popular poster. I had one. I had it on the door of the closet in my bedroom. And it had a guy sitting on a stool with both of his knees, you know, and his arms like this and his face in there. And it said, "Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit." There's a lot more of the just sitting than there is of the sitting and the thinking going on in our society today. Amen? A lot of times we don't turn this thing on. Now, we need to think under the control of God. If your favorite saying is God helps those that help themselves, that's as much a Bible verse as cleanliness is next to godliness. They're right there, right next to each other. You know what I'm saying? Okay? God helps those that humbly surrender themselves to Him. Amen? Okay? Not those that are out on their own course doing their own thing. Okay? The lion. Man, it's coming in our society where we're going to have to be courageous to stand for the Lord. You know, I want to throw this in. This is a commercial. I get irritated when people that, you know, in our kind of churches, oh, what's going on in America? The rapture's got to happen tomorrow. I'm in favor of the rapture happening tomorrow. But isn't it just a tad arrogant to think that because things aren't going our way that the rapture should happen? What are your Christian brothers and sisters in China been going through for decades? What about the ones in communist Laos? What about the ones in Iran and Iraq and Turkey? And I could go on and list country after country after country. What about them? It's just a tad arrogant on our part, don't you think? To think that because we have to struggle just a little bit, that the rapture's got to be coming. I want the rapture to come. I am not against it. And if it happened before I get home today, that's fine with me. I'm ready to go. Amen? Okay? Now, let's take a look at the ox. Be the ox. First of all, the ox was a clean animal. In Exodus chapter 20, it teaches us that the ox was good for certain kind of sacrifices. Keep your finger here in Ezekiel. Turn to Romans chapter 12. These are very, very familiar verses. Be the ox. Man, they were good for sacrifices. Under the inspiration of God, look what Paul told the Christians, the believers. Here, chapter 12, look at verse 1. Many of you probably know this verse by heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay? God wants us to be a sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you were getting a grade for being a living sacrifice, you wouldn't get an A+. You'd get a C. It's reasonable. You're not doing anything outstanding. You're doing what you should be doing all along. It's your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Now, these Jewish people, they understood a sacrifice because they were supposed to offer sacrifices at the temple, different times of the year, different things. The priests, there were daily sacrifices. There were sacrifices for different situations. Are you with me? They understood what a sacrifice is. God said, be a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? And we understand, we read in the Old Testament, and you know, the Passover, they killed an animal, you know, at first fruits. They did all these different things. But that's not what we do today. None of us brought a lamb to church on Easter for sacrifice, did we? I mean, we didn't. But God says, be a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something of value that you give for something greater. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? A living sacrifice. I need to sacrifice my desires, my goals, my ambitions for the Lord. You know, when I was a kid, I think this is, you know, little guys, they have these goals, you know, being a policeman, being a fireman, and those are good things. I wanted to be a Secret Service agent. You remember that? If you go way back, there was a TV show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and it was silly, and he had all of this fancy equipment and all that stuff. Man, I love those gadgets. I wanted those gadgets. And, you know, to be a Secret Service agent, I thought, there is nothing greater than this. And then I saw the video of President Reagan being shot. And I saw the Secret Service agent getting between President Reagan and the shooter, making himself a target. And I thank the Lord that he did not put me in the Secret Service. Amen. I didn't want to be that. And I always wanted to be kind of a lawyer. You say, well, you like to argue. That's a blessing. All right. And, you know, you just love to do your thing and then say, and the defense rests. You know what I mean? But you got to be willing to do what God wants, no matter what. And you all, you've been here, you know me. We were only 60 when we decided to go on the road full time. Some friends talked to my friend that had the COVID and said, what happened to Kimmel? Said, were things going bad at the church? And he said, no, it's a good church. He said, is he really that nuts? We got to be willing to do what God says. A living sacrifice. And the truth is, God doesn't want everybody in full-time service. He has you where you are to be a witness among the people where you are. Whether it's at a factory, in an office, if you're turning hamburgers, digging ditches, running a company, whatever it is, God has you there for the purpose to be a representative of Him. Be the ox. Be a sacrifice. Be willing to do what's needed. Let's go back to Ezekiel. The ox oftentimes was good for food. You say, what do you mean? I'm not saying that we need to cannibalize someone, but I am saying that the last part of the Great Commission is for us to teach others. We need to be a good source of spiritual food for others. In our families, we need to teach our kids. We need to teach people that we have led to the Lord. We need to help disciple. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a junior church worker. Whatever it is, you need to be a good source of food. The ox could be sacrificed, and he was a source of food. Okay? Some other things. Not just a clean animal, but he was a working animal. He was dependable. He was dependable. You know, in the world, I truly believe that people don't expect Christians to be perfect. They expect them to be honest. And I think a lot of times we've let the world down on that. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say, I'm going to do something, and then you find out it's a lot more involved than you thought it was, don't use that for an excuse. You've already given your word. Is your word worth anything? Be dependable. The ox was dependable. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. Be dependable. Be the ox, no matter what the circumstances. The ox could carry a heavy load. Learn how to carry a heavy load. Now, you say, preacher, Now, I have a back disease. I cannot carry heavy things. It's just impossible. I'm not talking about a physical load. I'm talking about a spiritual load. Learn how to carry the load. Don't faint. Don't be a crybaby. Don't be a quitter. Learn how to carry the load. You say, what do you mean? When we become a Christian, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, that happened to me when I was 15 and a half. Okay? I was a sophomore in high school. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My whole family got saved within a couple of years of each other. I was the last one in our family to get saved. When I got saved, the Bible says that I was a new creature in Christ, right? And you were too. It also, in other places, calls us babes. And all of us understand a baby has to develop. And what you expect out of a one-year-old is far different from what you expect out of a 10-year-old. And what is far different from what you expect out of a 20-year-old. The Lord doesn't expect a new believer to act like somebody that's been saved for 20 years. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Don't make me come down there and amen myself. You know I'll do it. Okay? We have to develop. How do we develop? Well, there are certain things. We have to eat right. Right? We have to get rest. We need exercise. Most all of you know June and I, on Wednesday, we're leaving for 2 months to go to Wyoming to help a church. I've ridden my elliptical machine some. I've started doing wall sets. You say, why? Because I can't wait for the opportunity. I hope that I get to ski at least once while I'm out there. I still like to ski. Pray for June. She has to put up with me. And out there, you can really, I mean, that's the big boy mountains. You know what I'm saying? This is free. Has nothing to do with the sermon. You know the ski place up here at Kewaskum? The guy that worked with our teenagers at Faith when I was a pastor, he brought the teens there for Faith. Well, I came with them. And obviously, it's not like skiing out west, okay? And I didn't tell the kids that. It is what it is. And after I went the first time, and I'm not an Olympic skier, okay? I can still do single black diamonds out west, if you know what I'm talking about. I cannot do double black diamonds. And it got to be the teenage boys, they couldn't stand it, that none of them could beat me down the hill. And I still stand undefeated. Every year that I was the pastor, we did it. It got to where you could hear the boys talking. I'm going to beat him down the hill this time. I never said a word. But one of them had one of the best wipeouts I've ever seen trying to beat me. All right? But anyway, all that's free. Okay? I started doing the wall sits and stuff. Because to be like this for a mile or so coming down the hill begins to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Now, if we're going to develop as a Christian, we have to do some things. And by the way, getting out of your comfort zone is good for you. It's good for you. You need to have to be put out there where you have to trust the Lord. Well, I don't think I could do that. Who told you that? Now, I can't sing in the choir. That's ability. Okay? Adam would quit being a song leader if I had to sing in the choir. Okay? But you need to step out there. You need to exercise. You need to develop. And if you're not developing, it's not the church's fault. It's your fault. Because you haven't taken the steps to do it. Be dependable. Learn how to carry a heavy load. And the older you get spiritually, the more mature you develop, the more you can do. Learn how to carry a heavy load. You say, preacher, you don't understand. Nobody at the church, they don't appreciate my abilities. Do you really want me to answer that? Do you? It's the same answer I gave to being fearful the last time. Take your diapers off, pull your pants up, and grow up. Amen? Now, I say that in love, but do it. All righty? Develop. Learn how to carry a load. Plowing. Turn in your Bibles to Hosea. It's in the Minor Prophets. Okay? Hosea. Now, if you've been saved 2 years and don't know where Hosea is, that's a good sign that you're not growing as you should. Now, you might have to start at the Minor Prophets, the first one, and go all the way through. Daniel, what's the first one? What's the first Minor Prophet? Nobody knows. It's Hosea. All right? That's the first one. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground. What is fallow ground? It's unused ground. It's ground that's not productive. You put a plow to a good ox, and an ox can make that fallow ground useful. He knows how to break it up. He knows how to make it productive. If people aren't better off because of you, there's something wrong with you. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? It's in the book of Proverbs. All righty? Okay? Iron sharpens iron. Break up that fallow ground. An ox can do that. He can make ground productive. Let's go back. Ezekiel. An ox is secure. He was used to tread the corn. Remember that verse? Muzzle not the ox when he treadeth the corn. He treads the corn. And another thing about an ox is you don't yoke an ox to a donkey. That's in the Bible. Like I said, we don't have time for all the verses. Are donkeys cooperative? Primarily, they have a reputation as not being cooperative. A donkey and a Baptist have a lot in common. No, just kidding. All right. They have a reputation for not being productive. Okay? They bray a lot. They squawk. Everybody knows where they are. An ox isn't like that. An ox doesn't want everybody noticing him. An ox does the job. You say, well, an ox will low. Yes, he will. But he won't bray like a donkey. He'll be cooperative. He'll do the job. Are you somebody that everybody has to know what you're doing? Or do you just get out and do the job? Church where I was a youth pastor, when I was there, when we were there, it was between 1,200 and 1,400. The pastor that was the pastor started the church. It's on the corner of East Rock Hill and Muskrat Road in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. And whatever image came to your mind, it's worse than that. Okay? Literally, when we got there, I was out soul winning one night, and some guy, I knocked on a door, and down the road, down East Rock Hill Road from the church, about another mile at that time, was an old quarry. And this guy goes, yeah, that's where that little church was started that's now huge. It's right down the road from Murderer's Row. And I went to the preacher next day. I said, where's Murderer's Row? He started laughing. He said, down here in the quarry, a lot of this one ethnic group from Europe, he said, on Friday night, Saturday night, they'd drink and carry on, and it wasn't uncommon for somebody to be killed down there. Murderer's Row. There was a man that died about 6 months before we got there. Old guy, been in the church for years. And there were things around the building that just stopped being done. Nobody knew who did them. But they found out that when this man, whose first name was Al, died, he had been doing all that stuff. Nobody knew it until he died. Do you think he ever got recognition? Nope. Nobody knew how to recognize him. Nobody knew he did it. Did they ever complain about the circumstances?
Nobody appreciates what I do.
He just did the job. He did the job. He went on, be the ox. You know, as we look at this vision, all of those faces, we need to use our minds. We need to be like the lion. We need to have courage. We need to be like the eagle, kind of be able to see and see what's going on. We need to do our best to be dependable. But we need to be like the ox. We need to do the job. We need to not quit. We need to not get sidetracked. And we do need to be clean. Sometimes we get discouraged. You say, preacher, you ever been discouraged? To be honest, yes. Is it right? No. The way we respond shows how big we think our God is. Do you understand? All of us come to situations. The way we respond to those show how big we think our God is. Do you think anything that happened in 2020 took God by surprise? Any of it? God's not in heaven wringing his hands, talking to Michael, saying, did you see that one coming? That one caught me by surprise. That's just not happening. God knew everything that happened. Not everything would be his desire. He never desires for man to sin. Okay? But God also gave man a will. And our actions show how big we think our God is. Be the ox. We got a new year coming. 2021. Say, is it going to be easier than 2020? I have no idea. But I do know this, that my God is still in heaven. And he still has a plan. And he's still on the throne. And he still works in the affairs of the lives of man. And the fact that we are here alive, he still has a purpose for us and something for us to do for him. Amen? And we need to start 2021 with that vision in our minds, in our lives, and it needs to consume us. You say, well, what are you going to do? Hey, so far we still can't travel internationally. So we're going to help churches wherever we can that need help. Amen? We're still going to record teaching lessons to go into other countries. We're going to, by the grace of God, be faithful. Now, what are you going to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will help us to take our time here this morning in the stillness of the time. And be serious with you. God, help us to really be serious about what you want us to do with our lives. And God, help us to respond as we should. Lord, I pray for you to bless in this time of invitation.